Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. The first story today is titled Frigid Firefight. East End Fire Battle Lasts 6 Hours in Below Zero Conditions. And this story is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Firefighters battled a fire for about 6 hours Sunday in dangerously cold and icy conditions. The Danville Fire Department responded to a fire at 20 Iowa Street starting at 12:19 p.m. Sunday. Crews said they saw heavy fire coming from the vacant residence upon arrival. Firefighters immediately sprang into action to get the fire out, as well as to search the house to check for any occupants. It was quickly confirmed that there were no occupants. The frigid negative wind chill temperatures forced many schools into e-learning days on Monday, but a firefighter has to do their job despite dangerous conditions. The extreme weather conditions presented numerous unique challenges. Decatur Fire Department Assistant Chief Jerry Sparks stated, "The extreme weather conditions presented numerous unique challenges, but despite multiple falls due to icy conditions, there were no injuries reported." Tim McFadden, DFD Fire Inspector, said the department is thankful for the Danville Mass Transit providing buses once again. "The Danville Mass Transit brought us a bus, which was a nice warming center," McFadden said. "We had crews rotate in and out to keep them fairly warm. One of our big concerns is frostbite for something like that, for being out in the cold that long." DMT Director Steve White said that during a fire earlier this month, providing a warming center is something they have done around 4 times since he became director. White said, "You know, this time of year when it's so cold, they might need a bus to warm up in the middle of the night, and we've done it." In total, 19 members of the Danville Fire Department crew worked the fire, and as of Monday morning, some firefighters were still on the scene putting out hot spots. Sparks also said there was a close call while the fire crew was evacuating the structure, and the roof partially collapsed. The cause of the fire remains under investigation and has been determined as incendiary, DFD said. They want to remind the public in a news release to exercise caution during periods of severe weather, winter weather, and to report any suspicious activity to local authorities. Tim McFadden, a DFD fire inspector, said that while the investigation is ongoing, it is possible the fire was started by people just trying to stay warm. However, he said that if that is the case, to contact them and they will help. "Unfortunately, this time of year, there is quite a homeless population, and when the weather gets bad like this, we do see folks trying to find an abandoned place to try to go in and keep warm," McFadden said. "I'm not sure if that was the case with this one, but it does happen. So we encourage folks in the neighborhood to keep an eye out if they see people coming and going that shouldn't be, to let the authorities know and help get those folks somewhere more suitable to stay than in vacant houses. Since the house was abandoned, the city will cover the cost of the demolition." If you have any other questions, DFD asks that you contact the department at 217-431-2350. Our next story is titled Council Votes on Restoring Library Funding. And this story is also by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The Danville City Council is expected to vote on an amended budget restoring funding to the Danville Public Library. Previously, the library was facing almost 500,000 in cuts to its budget. During the Public Works meeting last week, there was a brief discussion on amending the budget to restore funding for the library to its previous levy. And with a new director starting, many aldermen and people of the community rallied during meetings for the funding to be restored. Christopher Leggins serves as the DPL director. "I am just glad they are able to see value in the library," Leggins said, following the announcement of the restoration. "It is an opportunity to give growth and build, and I'm just looking forward to the staff I have. And it gave a little bit of weight off our shoulders." Leggins said he has big plans to restore a few programs directed at teenagers while instilling other new ones. "We are currently working on plans right now. We are working on a soft opening right now," Leggins said, as far as reinstating a teen program. "And we can build more vibrant and lively things that teens like to see." With the return of a little over $200,000 in funding, one might wonder what changes are being made to the budget. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said due to the city's saving money for employee benefit costs helped prevent moving other funds around. "So the good news is, with the health insurance savings by us, you know, changing plans saved us," Williams said. "We were going to end up with a budget that was a little more than $300,000. Due to the library needing a little over $200,000 to restore the levy to last year's funding amount, they were able to move the health insurance savings into the library fund. The council is set to vote on that amendment. A new development amendment for the Midtown TIF agreement, as well as awarding a bid to the H&L Landfill Leachate System Demolition. And our final front page story today is titled "Costello, Farmers Crushed by Trump." And this is by Peter Hancock from Capital News, Illinois. Springfield. The Trump administration announced this week that it would make $12 billion available in the form of one-time payments to U.S. farmers to help weather what it calls temporary trade market disruptions in the wake of ongoing tariff disputes with America's trading partners. But Jerry Costello II, director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, said this week the latest aid package is less than half the size of the one offered in response to trade disputes during Trump's first administration. He said the money being offered now is not nearly enough to make up for the losses farmers are suffering. "Tariffs are crushing farmers again," Costello said in a statement. "Financial losses are worse this time around, yet the aid package is 50% smaller. We're seeing repeated devastation with greater losses than Trump won. It defies logic." The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program on Monday. It said the funds are authorized under the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act and will be administered through the Federal Farm Service Agency, which also administers most other farm credit, subsidy, and conservation programs. Of the $12 billion being made available, USDA said $11 billion will be earmarked for farmers who produce row crops. Those include corn and soybeans, the two biggest crops in Illinois, as well as barley, cotton, oats, peanuts, sorghum, wheat, and several other crops. The remaining $1 billion is being reserved for other crops, including sugar and specialty crops, although details of those payments are still being developed. The payments will be based on the number of acres of eligible crops each farmer planted, as reported to FSA, as well as statistical models that use production cost estimates, average yields, and market prices to estimate each farmer's losses. USDA said eligible farmers should make sure their 2025 acreage is reported to the FSA by 4 p.m. Central Time on Friday, December 19th. Eligible farmers can expect payments to be released by February 28th of 2026. In its statement on December 8th, the USDA said the program would use a uniform formula to cover a portion of the modeled losses farmers incurred during the 2025 crop year, but it did not say how large of a portion those payments would cover. Costello, however, said the limited size of the program ensures it will not be enough to cover all the losses farmers have suffered as a result of the trade disputes. It's a much smaller relief package than last time, and this is a much larger problem than what we experienced during the first Trump administration and the first Trump tariffs, he said in an interview with Capital News Illinois. In 2017, Costello noted, the Trump administration imposed significant tariffs on various goods coming into the United States from China. That prompted China to impose retaliatory tariffs on a number of U.S. exports, including soybeans and other agricultural products. Illinois is the nation's leading producer of soybeans, he said, and China was the biggest export market for that crop. In 2017, tariffs are put in place. In 2018 and 2019, there's an estimated loss of over $27 billion in the agricultural space, Costello said. What's interesting about that is about 72% of that literally was specific to soybeans, and about 95% of that was specific to China. So at that point in time, again, first Trump administration, the aid package was $23.1 billion. From local news, we have the following staff report. It is titled, Community Roots Program Has Begun. And this is a staff report. Danville. The first phase of Danville's urban reforestation and revitalization plan, Community Roots, kicked off on Friday. This initiative, funded through a $1 million grant from Inflation Reduction Act and USDA Forest Service Urbana and Community Forest Program, intends to enhance tree canopy coverage in an economically disadvantaged neighborhoods, develop comprehensive maintenance plans, create a detailed tree inventory map, and establish educational programs that highlight the essential role trees play in our community's well-being. As part of the first phase of this effort, Indigo Tree Consulting will be performing tree risk assessment services in grant-eligible areas of the city this month to identify public trees that are hazardous and to make recommendations for a major tree removal effort in 2026. Along with the major tree removal effort planned in 2026, as part of the grant, the city is committed to planting a minimum of 3 trees for each removed in partnership with Trees for Danville. Now we're going to turn to the obituaries for December 16th. And the first today is for Kenneth Allen Craig. Kenneth, or Ken, Allen Craig passed away at his home in Fort Myers Beach, Florida on December 4th, 2025. A Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, December 20th, 2025, at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville at 1303 North Walnut Street. Father John Sear will officiate, and burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be held on Friday, December 19th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville at 3940 North Vermilion Street. There will be a Celebration of Life reception following the burial. The family requests that, in lieu of flowers, donations can be made in Ken's name to either the American Cancer Society, the Pro-Literacy Organization, or the donor's chosen charity. Robert D. Davis, Sr. Robert D. Davis, Sr., 93, lifelong resident of Danville, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, December 13, 2025, at Brendan Gardens Retirement Community in Springfield, Illinois. A service to celebrate the life of Robert D. Davis, Sr. will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, December 18th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion in Danville. Pastor Ryan Harris will officiate. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Park, and visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service on Thursday, also at Sunset in Danville. Memorials in Bob's name may be made to Hope Unlimited Church in Danville. Ruth Ann Earl. Ruth Ann Earl, 86, of Danville, passed away at 6:48 a.m. on Friday, December 12, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A memorial service to celebrate the life of Ruth Ann Earl will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, December 19th, at Christ Way Church in Danville. Clay Woodard will officiate, and a private burial will take place following services at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday, December 19th, prior to the services, also at Christway Church in Danville. Memorials in Ruth's name may be made to Christway Church in Danville. Edwin Rodmaker. Edwin Rodmaker, 91, of Oakwood, died Saturday, December 13, 2025, in Danville. Visitation will be from 9 to 11:30 a.m. Thursday at St. John Lutheran Church at 203 East Church Street in Royal. Funeral services will be at 11:30 a.m. Thursday at the church, with the Reverend Emil Blobaum officiating. Burial will be in Beckman Cemetery, and Beyer Family Funeral Services in Flatville is handling the arrangements. Olivia Tinsley Lillard. Olivia Tinsley Lillard, 87, of Danville, died on Saturday, December 6th, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Services will be at noon Tuesday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. The eulogist will be Pastor Reginald Buckley. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery and Leek and Son's funeral home in Danville is handling the arrangements. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. I'm going to turn now to the commercial news opinion page for an editorial that comes from the Herald Bulletin of Anderson, Indiana. It's titled, GOP State Senators Defy Trump, Serve Hoosiers. The people of Indiana are friendly, reasonable, neighborly, and generally slow to pick a fight. But there are some things that Hoosiers just won't stand for. They don't like being told what to do, and they don't like being played as pawns by outsiders. That helps explain why 21 of Indiana's 40 Republican state senators defied the demands of President Donald Trump on Thursday by voting against congressional redistricting. Trump fumed, threatened political reprisal, and called some of them out by name before the vote. He was desperate to reshape the map in an attempt to gain 2 of Indiana's 9 seats and maintain the majority in the U.S. House of Representatives in next year's election. Currently, Republicans hold a 7-2 advantage in Indiana's congressional delegation and a 219-213 edge over Democrats in the U.S. House. The gerrymandered map had passed the Indiana House last week by a 57-41 vote. But those 21 GOP Hoosier senators refused to pass it, refused to be pushed around. They held firm and they held together as the state Senate rejected an unprecedented attempt at midterm redistricting. All 10 Democratic state senators joined them to vote down the proposed map, which had been concocted by a conservative national redistricting group with deep Republican Party connections. The final vote was 31-19 against the proposed map. The proposal had stretched the imagination with districts spanning vast swaths of the state and 4 of the 9 converging in Marion County in a blatant attempt to split up Democratic voters who comprise about 40% of Hoosiers. But the 21 GOP state senators saw the redistricting effort for what it was, gerrymandering at its worst, a power grab that threatened to disenfranchise millions of Hoosiers and establish a dangerous precedent for midterm redistricting in Indiana. So whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or an Independent, the courageous bloc of Republican state senators deserves your gratitude for doing the right thing, the Hoosier thing. For the record, they are Roderick Bray, Eric Bassler, Mike Bohasek, Vanita Becker, Brian Buchanan, James Buck, Ed Charbonneau, Brett Clark, Michael Kreider, Spencer Deary, Dan DeMolk, Blake Doriot, Susan Glick, Greg Good, Travis Holdman, Gene Lysing, Ryan Mishler, Rick Nijmeyer, Linda Rogers, Greg Walker, and Kyle Walker. Collectively, this group faced down Trump's wrath and endured the slings and arrows and swattings of Trump loyalists who would do the president's bidding regardless of the impact on Americans. Notably, 10 of the 21 senators who voted against the proposed map Thursday are up for re-election next year, meaning that they had much to lose, but perhaps much to gain as well, by defying President Trump in Republican-leaning districts. Bray, President pro tempore of the Indiana Senate, is not up for re-election in 2026. Still, he stood strong in the face of enormous pressure from Trump and led his GOP Senate colleagues by both words and example. But State Senator Greg Good, who lives in Terre Haute, might have provided the simplest explanation of the group's rationale. The forces that define the vitriolic political affairs in places outside of Indiana have been gradually and now very blatantly infiltrating the political affairs in Indiana, he said on the floor of the Senate chamber before Thursday's vote. Misinformation, cruel social media posts, over-the-top pressure from within the State House and outside, threats of primaries, threats of violence, acts of violence. Friends, we're better than this. Hoosiers are indeed better than the purveyors of political vitriol in Washington and across the country. 21 brave and stubborn Republicans proved it again Thursday. And now we're going to return to some local stories from the commercial news. This one is titled Training Sessions to be Hosted by Danville Fire. And this is a staff report. The Danville Fire Department will be holding several training sessions this week, according to Ryan Allison, DFD training captain. This training will enhance the skills and readiness of firefighters serving Danville and surrounding communities, Allison said. The Danville Fire Department appreciates the community's support as we train to better serve you. The public may observe this training from a clearly marked safe viewing area. He also noted that nearby residents might notice temporary brown discoloration of water caused by sediment stirred up in water lines during live fire events. This usually clears within 2 to 8 hours without the need for continuous flushing. On Tuesday and Wednesday, there will be roof operations training in the 500 blocks of Chandler and Grant Streets in Danville. This training will be provided by Soda City Training from South Carolina, a nationally recognized fire service training organization. The course focuses on roof operations that will include the use of chainsaws and work on rooftops of houses to simulate realistic fire ground scenarios. Residents in the area should expect to see fire department vehicles, firefighters working on rooftops, and hear chainsaw noise and other training-related activity during the day. There is no cause for alarm. This is scheduled training aimed at improving firefighter safety and effectiveness. There will be live fire training on Thursday at 1008 North Jackson Street in Danville. This training will be for new recruits attending the Champaign Fire Academy as required by the state of Illinois. This realistic training helps prepare firefighters to safely protect residents and property. Neighbors may see smoke during the exercise. Only clean wood pallets will be burned. No carpet, plastics, or other synthetic materials, and any necessary asbestos abatement has been completed. The training complies with Illinois Environmental Protection Agency regulations. If you have any questions about these events, please call 217-431-2350. And finally, from Community Briefs, the Danville Lions Club will be placing wreaths at the Spring Hill Cemetery's Soldier Circle at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 21st. The public is invited to attend and help lay the wreaths following a brief program. Event Chair Lion Darren Van Dunn said, "We want to honor the brave veterans who were buried in the Soldier Circle," said Event Chair Lion Darren Van Dunn. After talking with Larry Weatherford, who is on the Spring Hill Board, we found out that there were nearly 500 veterans buried in the circle. We didn't feel that we could get enough sponsors to cover all the veterans' graves, so we adopted a step-by-step approach. We decided that we would do one row of the circle this year and add a row each year until we had enough of the permanent reusable wreaths to be placed on each of the graves. However, our community partners stepped up to the call, and we soon had enough funds to cover the first two rows, plus a few around the center monument. We're excited about this event to honor those who have served and look forward to adding more next year. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it has been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.